This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters. Bismillah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, has given us this beautiful kitab, his book, the Quran al-Kareem, and the best of teachers, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to teach us the way to live this life. And in this Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the stories of people of the past, so that we can learn from those stories and we can extract the lessons from them and apply them in our own lives. And one of the finest and greatest of those stories and one of the most detailed of those stories is the story of Musa alayhi salam and his people, the Bani Israel. And the purpose of the story is for us to understand it, for us to apply it to ourselves and say, what is it that we can learn from this story which will be beneficial for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the story and said that the Bani Israel refused to enter Jerusalem and the Holy Land which was given to them, and they refused it. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then punished them by making them wander in the desert for 40 years. Now, I remind myself and you that when we invite the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should remember that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be very severe. The meaning of 40 years of wandering in the desert is that one entire generation of people ceased to be. One entire generation of people was wiped out. And the reason this happened was because they invited it on themselves. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to destroy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what they wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved them from the suffering of being the slaves of the Pharaoh in Egypt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered them from Egypt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the wealth of the Pharaoh, Pharaonic people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave them the Holy Land as their place for them to settle. And what did they do? They refused that. They did not enter the Holy Land, even though that had been promised to them. On the other hand, they were arrogant about it and they told Musa alayhi salam, you and your Rabb go and fight and we are going to sit here and watch. Now, obviously, these are not things which benefit. These are not things which will go unrecorded and unrewarded in the context of punishment. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish without cause. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives and forgives and forgives. But when we become rebellious and we refuse to listen, we refuse to obey, then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come. And when it comes, it is severe. The meaning of wandering in the desert for 40 years is that one entire generation was replaced. One entire generation was wiped out. And that generation included Musa alayhi salam himself. Musa alayhi salam never entered Jerusalem. He never saw Jerusalem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on his journey of Isra wal Mi'raj, he passed by the grave of Musa alayhi salam, which was outside the wall of Jerusalem, and Musa alayhi salam was praying in his grave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him praying in his grave. Jibreel alayhi salam informed him that Musa alayhi salam said to Malakul Maut, when Malakul Maut came for his soul, he said, take me to a place where I can see Jerusalem. Take me to the wall of Jerusalem and then there take my life so that I can be buried there. And alhamdulillah, these are some special favors for the Anbiya alayhi salam alone. And those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to reward, Allah rewards. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam that. So he is buried outside the wall of Jerusalem. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in his punishment, he did not just allow them to perish. Even though they were wandering in the desert for 40 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them food and he gave them water. And these were also miracles. This was given to them in miraculous ways so that they could praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the bounty that he was giving them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they asked Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel, they asked, and Allah gave them also shade in the desert. I mean, imagine having to wander around in the extremely hot sun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused clouds to shade the Bani Israel as they walked, and he gave them manna and salwa, which is food from heaven, and he gave them water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this and tells us the story in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ استسقى موسى لقومه فقلنا اضرب بعصاك الحجر فانفجرت منه اثنتا عشرة عينا قد علم كل أناس مشربهم كلوا واشربوا من رزق الله ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَى طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَادْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا قال أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم وضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة وباءوا بغضب من الله ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون. Ajib, the mentality of people, and we need to reflect on ourselves. As I keep saying all the time, the purpose of these stories is not entertainment, it is not to talk about other people, it's not to point fingers at them, but to point a finger at ourselves and say, what is it that they used to do that we also do in our lives? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us what happened with them. So if we are going to do the same things, why do we imagine that we will be left alone? In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and remember when Musa alayhi salam asked for water for his people, we said, strike the stone with your stick. Then gushed forth from 12 springs. Each group of people knew its own place for water. Eat and drink of that which Allah has provided, and do not act corruptly, making mischief on the earth. And remember when you said, O Musa, we cannot endure one kind of food. So invoke and make dua to your Rabb for us to bring forth for us of what the earth grows. Its herbs, its cucumbers, its foam, which is wheat or garlic, its lentils and its onions. And he said, would you exchange that which is better for that which is lower? Go you down to any town and you will find what you want. And they were covered with humiliation and misery, and they drew on themselves the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was because they used to disbelieve the ayat, the proof and the evidence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they killed the prophets wrongfully. That was because they disobeyed and used to transgress the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Now, the important thing is to understand from this, the lesson that we learn is the importance of shukr, the importance of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The issue is not the kind of food, but the importance of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to understand the cost of being ungrateful for the ni'mat, for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Bani Israel did not make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them and were constantly ungrateful. So they were punished. Now think about that. Let's see what they did. First and foremost, what always strikes me is the tone of their speech, how they used to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Musa alayhi salam. They didn't make dua themselves, which is understandable. If the Nabi is there, you ask the Nabi to make dua. But when they went to ask him to make dua, their tone always was, you ask your Rabb for this. So just by the tone of voice, they are distancing themselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of saying, please ask our Rabb, they say, you ask your Rabb. So that the corruption begins right there. And then they are not grateful and they are not cognizant and they are not, they seem to be unaware of the blessings that have been given to them. Now think about that, that here were people who, despite disobeying Allah, because they had been sent to Jerusalem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Jerusalem and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, awarded it to them. But they refused it and they refused to enter it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned before, the punishment was that they were wandering in the desert. But even in that punishment, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so brilliantly clear that there is a cloud which shades them. They are not exposed to the heat of the sun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them manna wa salwa, which were special foods from Jannah. Now people get into all kinds of complicated conjectures about what exactly was manna and what exactly was salwa. And then somebody said it is partridges and quails, and somebody said it was some kind of plant extract. And the whole issue of understanding the stories of the Quran, one of the most important things is not to get involved in unnecessary conjecture and unnecessary inquiry about things which are really of no benefit. Even if we find out exactly what manna and salwa was, how is that going to help us today? Tell me. So don't waste your time, because this is from Shaitan. Shaitan will try to deceive you in one way or the other. And one of the ways, one of the favorite ways that Shaitan has of deceiving people and taking them astray is to involve them in useless questioning, even with the Quran. So on the face of it, you are reading Quran, you are trying to understand the Quran, and then Shaitan will put some thought in your mind, and now you are wondering, oh, I'm talking about this Ashabul Kahf and there is a dog. Now, what breed of dog was it? Now, was it a small dog? Was it a big dog? What are you going to do with that information? Even if you get the information, what good is it? We already know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned people were, they used to have this argument about what was the number of Ashabul Kahf? Was it so many or so many and so many? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have told us clearly there were so many. He didn't say. He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Allah knows their number. The point is that getting involved in useless discussion is from Shaitan. So don't do that. So here was the Bani Israel. They're being shaded by a special cloud which travels with them as they move. They're being given manna and salwa. They saw the miracle of Musa alayhi salam striking a rock with a stick on the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not one but 12 springs come out. And these 12 springs that come out, each spring is for one of the tribes, the 12 tribes of Bani Israel. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that, and He gave them that in a way where, and this is also from the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah knew these were quarrelsome people, and if He gave them one spring, then they will fight over it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, okay, each one of you have your own spring. Allah said they knew their place on that spring. And so Allah says, now eat and drink and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't make mischief on the earth. So what do they do? Now here, look at this. Three miracles, three blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happening to them simultaneously. And what is their reaction? Their reaction is, oh yeah, that's right, but you know, I wish I had some pickle, I wish I had some garlic, I wish I had some onions, I wish I could, I had some dal, you know, lentils, I wish I had wheat and this and that. So, food from Jannah, which is coming to you, which you couldn't possibly have even if you wanted it, this is clearly a blessing and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And think about that. That food is coming from Allah as a gift, which means that you will not have any hisab over this gift. There is this beautiful story in the seerah where one day it was an extremely hot day in Medina, and Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came out of his house, and he was very hassled because of the heat. So he came out of his house, and the Sahaba, they loved Rasulullah so much that in every situation, whether it was happiness, whether it was difficulty or sadness or whatever, their first thought was, let me go to Rasulullah with this. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came out of his house and he was walking towards the masjid. He met Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu on the way. So he asked him, where are you going? He said, I am hungry, I am very hot, and it's very, I'm hassled, I can't sleep, I can't do anything, so I am going to see Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, oh, I am also going to see Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As they reached Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif, and that is where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's house was, next to the masjid, they saw him coming out of the masjid. They made salam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, where are you going? He said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am so hot, hassled, and I'm hungry, so I just came out of my house. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we came to see you for the same reason. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, let us go to Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu's house. So they went. Now when they went, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu was not home, but his wife was home. She invited them inside. They sat down, and as they sat down, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu came. He was absolutely delighted. He was so happy to see Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his two friends, his two most illustrious companions with him. So he immediately slaughtered a lamb and gave it to his wife to prepare the meat. And he went into his date orchard and he cut a bunch of dates which had ripe dates and semi-ripe dates and green dates, all on the same bunch. He brought that, and he brought some, his garden had a well with beautiful cold water, so he brought some water. So Rasulullah and his companions, Nabi asked him, he said, why did you cut the whole bunch? He said, Ya Rasulullah, it has all kinds of dates on it, so I brought it so that if you want to eat some green dates, they are there. If you want to have some semi-ripe dates, they are there. And if you want to have ripe dates, they are also there. This was the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? They loved him so much. So he brought all this. Meanwhile, while they were eating this, the lamb was prepared. Abu Ayyub Ansari radhiyallahu anhu's wife, she made bread, and so they brought this bread, and he brought the bread and the meat, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took two of these breads, two of these, you know, qubus, the roti, and he put the meat into that roti, and he folded it, and he said to Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu, he said, take this and give it to Fatima, she has not eaten for 3 days. Yeah, this is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent him, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent food to Maryam alayhi salam, a little girl in her in her room, and these were out of season fruits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Bani Israel manna salwa. Couldn't he have sent food to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The whole idea of these things is to make the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a beautiful live example for us to follow. So this happened, and then the rest of the meat and so on, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and they all ate. And when they finished, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hisab for this. Allah will ask us to account for this. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, they were shocked. Right? They were shocked. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we were so hungry and we were thirsty and, you know, we were in this heat, and Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this food, but we will be asked for this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why would you not be asked? Was it your right? Was it your heart that you should get this? This is the ni'mat of Allah. This is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question you about this. Make shukr. My brothers and sisters, I cannot even begin to emphasize the importance of making shukr. We need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this life. Just sit down every day and write down 10 things. As soon as you wake up in the morning, write down, keep a paper pad, notebook next to your bed. And when you wake up, write down 10 things that you need to thank Allah for on that day. Today, what are the 10 things that I need to thank Allah for today? Write them down, right? And doesn't matter if you have to repeat them every day. For example, in these COVID times, I was speaking somewhere and I said to people, I said, please take 2 deep breaths. So they said, I said, did you breathe? Yes. How did you feel? Nice. I said, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Because the people who are dying of COVID in the ICUs of hospitals, what are they dying of? Respiratory failure. They cannot breathe. They cannot breathe. And you are able to breathe. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, I'm able to breathe. Then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at least we living here are able to breathe clean air. There's no pollution, there's no smoke, there's no dust. Beautiful, clean air. Every morning as I go to the, in the morning when I get out of my house and I'm going to the masjid, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are birds chirping. Sometimes you see the stars in the sky. Sometimes the moon is still visible. There's this big, huge oak trees. I walk under them. It's so beautiful. I say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted just this environment. Write down on your pad 10 things that you need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. As I am sitting here recording this, the road outside my house, for the last half an hour, not a single car has passed. There's no noise. So much peace and calmness. It's Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Instead of thanking Allah, what did the Bani Israel do? Bani Israel said, yeah, okay, this food from heaven is coming, but how can we eat the same thing every day? So he says to Musa alayhi salam, go please make dua for garlic and onions. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. So Musa alayhi salam said, you want to ask for something which is lower when you are already getting something which is better. And this stuff, go to any village, go to any town, you will get all this in the market. You don't need to, this will not come from Jannah. The point I'm making is, what Allah gives as a gift, Allah will not hold you accountable for, but what you have to do for yourself, Allah will hold you accountable for. So here are the people, they're getting a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they can enjoy it, and they can eat it, and they can be happy with it. And then, there is no accounting. Instead of that, you want to go and buy your own stuff, spend your own money, or grow it, or whatever, and then be held accountable for it. I mean, all of these things, they just show a lack of faith, lack of understanding. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we covered them with humiliation. Because they drew on themselves the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said that they disbelieved the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they killed their prophets wrongfully, and they transgressed bounds. Now, as I said, the point of all this is for us to reflect on it and say, where and how does it affect me, right? Where do I come into this? And how do I come into this? Because this is ours. I mean, this is the reason why we are being given, these things. We are being given these reminders for us to think about and for us to correct ourselves, right? So that is the point that I want to make for you and ask you to think about this and say, how does this apply to me? What is it that I am doing today which is like what the Bani Israel used to do? Because the point of all these stories is the same thing, right? That we correct ourselves and that we understand that we don't do the same thing that people before us did. So if you think about today and say, when we monitor conversation, one of the best ways of doing a reality check is to monitor our conversation. So if you monitor our conversations, just think about this and say, what do you hear more of? Do we hear more shukr or do we hear more complaints? Right? Your own conversation, monitor your own conversation. When you speak, what do you do more of? Do you speak, are you more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are you complaining about this and that? Whether it's the weather, whether it's the economy, whether it is the government, whether it is your family and children and wife and husband or whatever the case might be, what comes out of your mouth? Is it more gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or is it complaints? Ideal is 100% gratitude and zero complaints. No matter what the situation. I just told you a story about the situation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's himself and his family and his best companions. If there was anybody who was entitled to some special treatment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these were the people. But what was the special treatment they got? They got hardship. But what is on their tongues? The shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. They're not saying, I didn't get food for 3 days. No. You can focus on the fact that you did not eat for 3 days, or you can focus on the fact that you're eating your fill now. Your choice. is Alhamdulillah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. We know his times. If he had food, after Salatul Fajr, he would come home and he would say, is there anything to eat? And if one of his wives, whichever wife he was staying with on that day, and if there was food, Alhamdulillah, she gave him the food and he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he ate. And if there was no food, he would say, I am fasting. Even there, his way of dealing with no food was prayer, which is fasting. Ibadah. I am fasting. My brothers and sisters, the idea of all these stories is for us to learn from it. And the lesson that we learn from this part of the story of Musa alayhi salam is to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I invite you and I advise you and myself, let us consciously think of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us. And constantly reinforce that and be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those blessings. I ask Allah to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.